Well, we've reached a critical mass. Daisy is now doing makeup. I mean, we're just here.
I mean, that's 11, right? 11 yeah. and a half-ish. Yeah. That tracks, I guess,
I
right?
didn't start doing makeup until I was, like, in my 40s.
Yeah, I'm the type of person who doesn't know when kids should be walking and talking. So
no, that
makeup,
makes total sense.
Makeup could be 6 years old. So makeup could be 40. I don't have
if
no idea.
If you're a Ramsey.
You know.
Hi, Julian Bensavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Girl, tell them about the Disky.
We are on Discord. It's really fun. We have a lot of chats.
Is it a we or is it a you? Do
it's
you know
me.
What I mean?
It's we, like the collective we, like the TCO people are.
I literally was minimizing tabs on my computer today, and I was like, oh, Discord I opened once 4 months ago.
X out. We're fine. We're
I know.
Fun.
No, it's like, if I were to Google how long to die in cold on that tab, it would say that I made that Google search on January 4th, 2023.
Yes, exactly.
That was a long
if
way to
know,
go
you know.
For a bad character. Yeah. Joke. What's the other thing we're supposed to do?
YouTube. We're on YouTube now.
Listen, not only are we on YouTube, we are dominating. I love our YouTube so much. People are really involved there. They're really interactive. Our videos look amazing. It's True Crime Obsessed Podcast on YouTube. All of our regular episodes, our Tuesday and our Thursday episodes, are all there. The yeah. video versions, and they are so much fun.
Yeah.
All right, what are we talking about?
We are talking about worst ex ever. This is episode 4, so this is the last worst ex ever. It's called Married to a Monster.
And boy, is she.
Yeah, it's Married to a Monster, and also this whole series, and also Worst Roommate Ever, are just like, well, cops are useless.
I know.
In every single episode.
And men are terrible.
Ugh.
Sometimes it's a woman, though.
Yeah, sometimes.
Every now and then. Not in this case.
People tell me all the time it's not my fault. I have heard hundreds of times it's not your fault. But I should have seen the red flags.
I was sleeping in my room. I heard 2 pops and it woke me up.
I should have moved. I should have been more careful. I should have played it safe.
She's lying face down in her own blood. I am scared to open the door.
Had I known that the most dangerous time for a person in a domestic violence relationship is when they try to leave, had I known that, I probably would have done things differently.
We open with Amanda. We're in Everett, Washington. She tells us that she met a guy named Kevin in 2007 at a Denny's. I said, yes, queen.
Yeah,
you go
I love
get your
the
Rudy
Denny's.
Toots.
Yeah, she also opens by saying, like, if I had known that leaving is the most dangerous time for someone in an abusive relationship, I would have done things differently. And I'm like, this is why we scream the same things over and over again.
I know.
Because you never know when it's going to be someone's first time hearing this or first time knowing a statistic.
I mean, and the advice given is so conflicting. It's like, leave the first time he disrespects you. Or what? And, but it's like,
it's also the most dangerous time.
Exactly.
So fingers crossed and the cops aren't going to help you.
And no one's going to help you. Like, you know?
So yeah, Kevin was at, they were all at Denny's. Love a booth. Love a Denny's. Love the way it smells.
I love like a fluorescent overhead light at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, I love the vibe. I love the vibe of like a corporate chain restaurant with booths.
Yeah, well, Amanda is there with her friend Ari, and Ari is here. And she's like, their meet cute was actually really cute. Or was it?
Was it?
We were sitting in a booth eating nachos, and Kevin came and sat right in our booth next to Amanda.
He was flirting and smiling, and I sort of was dismissive.
I'm sorry, that if I was with Ashley and we were eating nachos and some guy came over and sat next to one of us, I'd be like, can you not?
I'm trying,
can we have anything?
No,
we can't
I know.
Even have peaceful nachos
I know.
At Denny's?
I know.
Leave me alone
the
with my nachos.
The best we can hope for are gay bartenders. When I was a bartender and I would, like at a steakhouse, which women are just like not, I don't want to say safe, but they certainly are not going to be able to be left alone at
you
a steakhouse
cannot sit
bar.
Alone at a bar at a steakhouse.
No. And like,
without being like...
I would run interference all night long. All night long. That's
we're,
all.
We're just trying to have nachos. We can't even have peaceful
and
nachos.
My question was just like, did they invite him over? Maybe they invited him. I don't know. But like, he's there to talk to Amanda, and Amanda is not giving him the time of day.
Amanda says he was flirting with me and I was dismissive of him.
Yes.
So... Jason
So I'm sorry, Ari. What's so cute about this?
Like, I know, Ari. I like Ari. She just wanted nachos, man. Girl,
yeah,
I hear you.
I know.
I just want to eat in peace.
Denny's nachos? I don't know,
Everyone
though.
Everyone go away.
I know. Give me some pancakes at a Denny's. Like,
I want to eat nachos. Peacefully.
I can see on your face you're like reliving all the time men have bothered you. I hate
it
that
sucks.
For you. I hate
I feel,
it.
I just instantly got so tired.
Well, I gotta tell you, we're doing two really tough episodes today. And one of them is about like child predators on Instagram, essentially.
It's one of our bonus episodes. It's the first episode of that show, Undercover Underage.
And I literally made a note that makes me want to get in bed and never come. It makes me feel like I have no fight left. Because why even bother?
I want to take a really sad shower and
put on some Tori Amos.
Yeah, oh my God, Fiona Apple. So Jason is Kevin's best friend from high school. I'm assuming former is just written in invisible ink.
No question. Jason is on the right side of history here, I think.
Amanda does not give Kevin her phone number. She is not interested. A week later, they, quote, run into each other at some event.
In downtown Spokane. Wait, are you calling bullshit? Do you think he was stalking her?
I think it's kind of interesting.
Oh,
he's
interesting.
Being really, like...
Sometimes I watch these things like such a fucking man. That didn't even occur to me.
It's weird. She was like, she used the word dismissive. He didn't have her number. He was really pursuing her. And then they run into each other at some event in a major city.
And he made a joke about it being... meant to be, that we ran into each other. Just the charming way he spoke drew my interest. He made it pretty clear he wanted a relationship with me. And I found his efforts to be attractive.
I found his efforts to be attractive. Listen to what she's saying.
Yeah.
That's zero shade to Amanda, but like this happens all the time.
But I mean, what is the right balance between like pursuing somebody and stalking them? What is the difference?
To me, it's so obvious.
So obvious. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
I want it to be stated. I'm asking that question knowing that I know what the answer is.
You do.
But I wasn't asking that question like educate me, I don't know. But like we see in TV or like in movies all the time, like the guy that won't take no for an answer is like, and then he ends up being,
I'm gonna marry her, and then it's like, he just made it happen. And it's like sometimes look, I'm not generalizing at all.
Yeah.
But the words I'm hearing are, Amanda used the word dismissive. He was really pursuing her. She did not give him her phone number the night of the ruined nachos. And now suddenly...
night of the ruined nachos. Like, I love that's the chapter title.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, totally.
Nachos were ruined. Amanda and Ari were trying to have a girls' night.
You can never get back.
They were trying to have a girls' night at Denny's.
Yeah.
Like fucking girlhood,
yes.
Eating their nachos, and it was ruined forever.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Like, don't fuck with... Like, why?
I know.
Having apps?
I know.
Peaceful apps are all I want. Like.
Not even a Rudy Toot.
So then
know.
It's like... Kevin,
which they won't give you if you call it that. You got to say the whole thing. You got to say the
Rudy... IHOP?
Oh, God damn it.
That's
well,
IHOP,
now I wish
girl.
We were at an IHOP.
Yeah.
You got to say Rudy Tooty Fresh.
Denny's has some other long-winded one to compete with the IHOP.
They have the Moons Over My Hammy, I think.
Really?
I think
oh,
that's
probably.
Denny's.
That sounds very Denny's.
Moons Over My Hammy.
Moons
over
my hammy. But I'm hearing all these words, and then I'm also hearing we happen to run into each other. I don't know. I'm not... We don't hear anything about how that was weird.
Yes.
I'm just saying it's called Worst Marriage Ever, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
This guy's a monster.
Yeah.
And I'm just putting two and two together.
Travel. Girl, how's Fiona?
She's awesome. How's Golden?
He's great.
Good.
He's a little annoying, but he's good.
You know what? I'm so thrilled because today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
So, fam, the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it.
Always. It's simple. You use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/TCO.
That's aspcapetinsurance.com/TCO.
Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/TCO.
This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited.
The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. I'm engaged in the business of loving my pets. So.
I know you are.
I don't know about everyone else.
Well, now we meet Manny, who's Amanda's younger brother. Like, Amanda and Manny, and we're going to learn their sister, Punky, they were all really, really super freaking close.
Yeah.
And he's saying that, like, when he met Kevin for the first time, Amanda was living with him, like, right after college.
Amanda and Manny are roommates. Brother and sister are roommates.
Brother and sister are roommates. Right, right, right. And Manny's saying that Amanda said, Kevin, my friend is going to stop by. And he stops by. And, like, this was read so intentional to me.
He complimented me on my broad shoulders. He said I was a lot bigger than he imagined and kind of did this gesture. And I immediately liked him.
And Manny's like, I liked him right away. I don't know what to tell you.
And immediately I was like, oh, yeah. Kevin knows what he's doing. And that's dangerous.
Yep.
So Kevin was, quote, constantly trying to be Manny's friend. Of course he was.
Yeah.
August 2007, Amanda and Kevin are dating for 7 months, and then they move in together. And now we hear about Alicia, also known as Punky, who's Amanda's sister. Punky is the truth seer of the family.
I wish we knew how she got that nickname. I'm dying to know everything about her.
I love her.
I know, me too.
She didn't like Kevin, and she thought he was arrogant.
She didn't like anybody. So this is the thing that we learned about Punky is that she definitely didn't like Kevin, and she was 100% right about that. But she also, she never liked any of the siblings' significant others. So it's a little hard. I think the Kevin thing gets a little watered down because they're like, oh, Punky doesn't like anybody.
They say most of the things she said fell on deaf ears. Tell me about it.
Well, and also, I bet that Kevin could tell right away that she didn't like him and that he didn't have a chance with her and put all of his efforts into Manny.
Of course. That's 100% what happened.
Yeah.
So Kevin asks Amanda's father for her hand in marriage.
Is this a thing we still do?
I know someone who just got engaged in mid to late 30s, and he had just had a conversation with the father.
See, that's fine. If somebody came to me and was like, I'd like to ask your permission to marry, I'd be like, why don't you ask her?
Yeah.
Like, what makes you think it's my call?
Well, I think it depends on the nature of the relationship and sort of like, heads up, I'm doing this.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That is fine. Like, I totally respect that.
I really don't have an opinion either way.
You don't?
Very antiquated permission is bullshit.
Like, yes,
But also this person, like, they picked out the ring together. They knew it was happening. They'd been dating for years.
So a conversation of like, hey, I'd like to ask your daughter to marry. Are you cool?
It's like, just sort of like, hey, the time is coming. This is a surprise for everyone but her, and I'm asking her. I think it really, really has to do with the dynamic of the relationship.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's like a monolith thing, but like this weird, like, can I like purchase your daughter and a piece of
do
land?
Do I get a couple cows?
Or whatever. Apparently Kevin's dad, like the ex, the horrible person, like his dad wasn't a good guy, so he is claiming he wants to break the cycle. And then more than that, Amanda's dad promises to be the father that Kevin never had and always wanted.
But like, you know, it's worth really saying that like, this is Kevin's angle. He's like—
Oh, I mean, I don't care. I don't know about his family, but this is all bullshit.
I mean, he's making the dad and the brother fall in love with him. And like, yeah, I mean—
And then make promises to him, too.
Right,
like,
right.
He's really good at
this. Well, right. That's the manipulation. Yeah. Like, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's our guy.
And now everyone is in on this, like, lovely family together. It's, like, really fucked.
Yeah.
So it's a short engagement, of course, by design, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They get married very quickly. Here's something very, very, very important.
In my family, my parents were still together, my relatives, my cousins, everyone had these long-term marriages, and we were all happy and excited.
That was a thing. They don't believe in divorce. They don't do that.
They're all still together.
Everyone was married for a long time. And Amanda says, like, she was happy to be a part of that. That was sort of like a club that she wanted to be a part of.
But it's also that thing where Amanda is going to feel like she can't leave the abusive husband because she's got to uphold that tradition in her family.
And she's told as much later. And I'm going to be furious about
it. Okay, I'm glad to hear you say that. Because it's total
fucking bullshit. Are you kidding?
Bullshit.
It's insane what they say to her.
Like, you do not have to stay in an abusive marriage just because your parents are
still married. No, it would have been nice to have some support.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So it was a really emotional wedding. Like, everyone is thrilled to have this big, happy family because that's what Kevin is pitching. And, like, of course, it's like right before the wedding, up until the wedding, everything's great.
Right.
Right. Like, because it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all an act. So, September 2011, they've been married for 2 years. Amanda's 25 years old and she's pregnant with Ileana, her first child. Everyone is thrilled.
I love that name, Ileana.
Ileana is
such
pretty.
A beautiful name.
Really pretty.
Everyone is excited, especially Aunt Punky. She gets pregnant again and again. She gets pregnant like 3 times in a row, really, really fast.
She was pregnant 3 months after Ileana was born.
I know.
Ouch.
I know.
Physically, I mean.
Yes. It
Ouch.
Goes, and they're all very close in age. It's 2 girls and a boy. And, you know, Manny is saying, like, Amanda was a great mom, nurturing and loving. And, like, and Kevin seemed to really, like, be a loving dad as well, according to Manny.
Well, sure, because that's part of the act.
Yeah.
Because Amanda tells us that they had a lot of problems in the marriage, especially Kevin's lack of affection. So much so that Amanda was shocked to see Kevin emotional about the birth of his daughter.
Right.
It was that rare that he was going to be emotional that she was like, oh, do you care about this? Like,
and
weird.
It's such a wild—when she said that, when I I was watching this the first time, it really caught me off guard because he was so attentive to her in the beginning, like trying courting her and trying to get her to take him serious. And then once he had her, he basically ignored her.
Well, it couldn't have worked out better for his fucked up mind that like, oh, and she comes with a family who like doesn't believe in divorce.
Yeah.
Now I really got her.
Yeah. But that lack of affection, really, I've never really heard it said like that before.
Yeah.
You know, that like that's what their marriage was. It hasn't gotten physically abusive yet, but he's ignoring her.
Which is still abuse.
Of course.
And so it's not just that.
But I think the important point there is that people don't always recognize that as abuse.
Yes.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And because it's not just his lack of affection, it's the aggression. Like, he fought dirty.
Yes.
Which is bad. Like, fighting is normal, but you cannot fight dirty because he's always putting her down and calling her names.
When I was pregnant with my son, he called me a crybaby and fat bitch. I was just really like, who did I marry? Who is this person?
Like, bye.
Bye.
Like, that is abuse.
Except that we all know that women, people who leave relationships are the most vulnerable at the time that they
leave.
Right,
so it's like, we're just supposed to suffer one way or the other? Like, pick our poison?
What are people who need to leave a relationship supposed to do, truly? Because we've said this 1,000 times already on this episode. No one's going to help you. No one's going to believe. She is literally told, we can't help you until he kills you.
Well, so much of it is the brainwashing that the abuser does.
Yeah.
So much of it is, you think Punky wouldn't be like, stay with me. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But chances are he was, you know, she's brainwashed into believing, not just Amanda, but like someone being abused is brainwashed into thinking that no one, or like, he's so nice to my brother. My brother's never going to believe me. Like, there's just so much layers to it.
Yeah.
So many
and there are, and we'll get into it in like a minute, but there are so many things that happen to Amanda that the police blatantly, willingly turn a blind eye to.
And Amanda says like, she woke up one day and she's like, I don't even know who I married anymore.
Yes.
Like, she says, Kevin has abandonment issues and his father didn't claim Kevin. And like, she said, I do think that created some emotional issues for him. Like, I'm sure it did.
Yes.
How could it not? But there's no excuse for this behavior.
100%.
Like, join the fucking club of people who I love, who are great, who had shitty upbringings.
Exactly.
Like,
totally.
Are you kidding? I'm married one. Like, give me a break.
And there has to be more to it than that, right? He has to have some kind of severe mental illness.
Right.
Like, it's...
Or not. Like, I don't want to, like, put that on mental illness. Sometimes people are just assholes.
Yeah.
Like,
and monsters. I
you
mean,
know
it's
what I
so
mean?
Much more than being an asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, these monsters are created. And this is when Amanda goes to her dad and she's like, Dad, I'm not happy. I don't know what to do.
My dad's feedback was to make it work. He was like, this is a good guy. He doesn't drink. He doesn't gamble. He doesn't do drugs. He works a regular job. But Kevin was emotionally abusive throughout the marriage.
The dad tells her to stay.
To stay. And it's like, it's the most heartbreaking. It must have been one of the loneliest moments of her life.
Yes.
To go to someone, her dad, and ask for help and him telling her to stick it out.
Because their family is so close. You know what I mean? And I'm sure she's wondering, if I'm the one who's the first to get divorced, is my family going to abandon me?
I mean, it was like not allowed. Her brother says divorce was not a topic in our house growing up. Like, you couldn't even talk about someone else's. It was like a word you couldn't even say. Like, weird.
I know. And Amanda is here to say that, like, especially after having the kids and this reinforcement from her family that you should just shut up and fucking take it, she decides she's, like, committed to working it out.
So now Amanda has to adjust to this abusive lifestyle and work around this guy's triggers. And I just, like, how do you hear what's going on and you're still telling your daughter to stick it out? It's sick.
I know. And it's like, Amanda also has to know that he's not going to change. He's not working on himself. He's not in therapy. He's not, like, when you're Amanda, this must be what you're thinking is going to be your life for the rest of your life. She describes walking on eggshells all the time. Imagine living like that every single day.
And it's only getting worse.
Girl, Miracle Made is back. These are these self-cleaning, cooling sheets that we are both obsessed with.
Yeah, so I don't love the heat, but I really super don't love sleeping in the heat.
No!
So it really helps that Miracle Made bed sheets are inspired by NASA.
Yeah.
And use silver-infused fabrics that are temperature-regulating, so you're sleeping at the perfect temp all night long.
And let me tell you, the human body is disgusting.
Yes.
And let me just say, these sheets are infused with the silver that prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresh 3 times longer than other sheets. No more gross odors. People are disgusting.
Let's talk about your skin, please.
Please.
Do me
a
favor.
Personally?
Well, everyone's.
Okay, great.
Not yours anymore because you use Miracle, but like, do me a personal favor. Stop sleeping on bacteria. Like,
I know.
Bacteria is what's clogging your pores. It's causing breakouts. It's causing acne. Sleep clean with Miracle.
And you all know you're bougie. Miracle sheets are luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands and feel as nice, if not nicer, than sheets used by some five-star hotels.
Guess what? You can have it all.
So fam, upgrade your sleep as the weather heats up.
Go to trymiracle.com/TCO to try Miracle Made sheets today.
And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%.
And if you use our promo code TCO at checkout, you'll get a free 3-piece towel set and save an extra 20%.
Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/TCO and use the code TCO to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off.
Again, that's trymiracle.com/TCO to treat yourself.
Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. So Kevin is very controlling, obviously, but now he's like checking her phone constantly, regularly. She had to delete every single male contact in her phone.
And then it's like he's upset about the things she's wearing to the point. This is where I was like, okay, we've crossed the line, because she tells a story that they're at a family function.
I was wearing a t-shirt and I had bent over to pick up one of the toys for the kids. And he got upset about that because my breasts were showing when I bent over.
He said, "Woman," in a stern voice, and it was unsettling.
Her brother describes it as he saw her and said the word "woman" in, quote, a stern voice that was unsettling. That's a warning shot.
Yeah.
That's what he says to her at home when she's, quote, out of line.
Yes.
So he's doing it. Like, what is he
in
doing?
In front of her family. And Manny says it was kind of jarring, but we just assumed that she tolerated it because she didn't say anything.
Manny says he, quote, didn't know the dynamic of the situation.
When I tell you.
This is the dynamic. And it sucks.
If I saw my daughter's partner speak to her like that, the guy would be lifted up by his fucking t-shirt. You do not talk to my daughter or any human being like that ever, ever.
It's insane.
And if I hear it again, I'm going to kill. Now I'm getting violent.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, I'm sorry, but like, I will not stand for that.
I just figured it was something he did and I assume she tolerated it. Well, maybe your sister shouldn't have to tolerate.
Or maybe you could ask her.
That's what I mean. Like, maybe she shouldn't have to tolerate. Maybe you should say, that's weird.
Yes.
That's not how I want my sister to live her life.
Nope.
In this marriage she's not allowed to get out of. I wonder if this marriage, like, should, like, connect the fucking dots.
Yes, and it's, once again, we are not blaming the family. The bad guy is the bad guy. We know that. But I think what I'm just saying is, if I were listening to this podcast, I would be taking this as permission to, like, be like, in my own life, oh, right. When I hear somebody speak to somebody that way, I am empowered now to stand up and say, don't fucking do that.
Don't do that.
Or at the very least, go to the person who was spoken to that way and say, hey, is everything okay at home? I'm a safe place for you. You can talk to me.
And remember, this is after Amanda told her father that she was in an abusive relationship.
Yes. Yes. And that's the thing. Like, we have to make our people know that we are safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe don't have the fight with the boyfriend at the family event, but go to your friend that just happened to and say, talk to me.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on.
Even drop seeds. Even say, like, I don't know, make up some invisible friend of yours that's been going through. Like, just make it clear.
And you know Punky was not at this barbecue because she would have beaten his ass.
There's no way she was there.
She was not there.
And if she wasn't, didn't do anything, okay, that's fine. Like, you never know with these people, right?
And then Kevin's best friend, Jason, is over at the house one night. He was the one that was at the Denny's when they all met. And Amanda comes out of a room wearing a pair of little shorts. And now Kevin is yelling at Jason not to look at Amanda in any type of way.
So he's doing this in front of her family and his friends. What are they doing when he's alone?
Right.
Is the question we always come back to.
And even Jason is like, I don't know this person. The person who was saying that to me, I don't recognize this guy.
Right.
This is different than I've seen him be. Like, Kevin, something is going on and Kevin is getting worse. He's escalating.
So now it's February 2016. They've been married for 6 years.
Yeah.
And Amanda has had it. She's made the decision she wants out of this marriage, not just for her, but for her 3 children.
Yes.
When I went to talk to Kevin about wanting a divorce, he was super upset about it and seemed hurt. I remember being surprised. I really didn't think he was going to care that much.
His response wasn't anger, she says. It was like hurt and upset. And I think that is shocking in a moment like that. You're used to this guy yelling at you, screaming at you, or ignoring you.
She's like, if you don't want me to leave, then be nice.
Exactly.
Like, then don't
make
be abusive.
Make me feel like you
want
to be here.
But it's like, oh, it's control. Like, right. It's just all, it all goes back to
it's
control.
It's manipulation, right.
And so Amanda wants to leave, but like so many people in her position, money is a concern. She has three kids.
Although in like, in a minute, she's going to have like the highest power job I've ever heard of.
She's so awesome. So just to like get some space, she moves into the home office.
I'm surprised he allowed that.
I mean,
you know,
I don't know. I got it, to what end?
I know. Was it a fight every single day?
Probably.
Or like, did he just not want her around, but he wanted her around enough?
Probably.
You know,
there are like plenty of options that would still be like mean to Amanda, but controlling for him. Like these people aren't like, they're sick.
Yeah.
So it's November 6th, 2016. It's 5 a.m. Amanda is asleep. Like, for example, like things like this would happen, right?
Right, yeah.
Amanda's asleep in the office. Kevin, like out of nowhere at 5 a.m., is in a seething, blind rage, kicks the door in, and he's looking through Amanda's phone.
Well, he's trying to. Her phone is locked.
Right.
And she's asleep, and like she's got one of those fingerprint unlocks.
Right. He's like ranting and raving. I don't want anyone to know my business. Like, of course he doesn't want. Like, did you tell your friends you're sleeping in the office? Like, that can't happen.
Yeah,
that
can never happen. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's trying to like
jam her finger into the phone to unlock it, but it's not working.
And he's backed her into a closet.
She says she felt like she was held hostage by him in this closet.
This guy is 5'11". He's 185 pounds. He's in the military and he's a trained boxer.
Yeah.
So he's backed Amanda into the closet. He's trying to physically force her to open her own phone, but it's not working because he's acting like a fucking maniac.
Right.
Obviously, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
She's screaming like it's just a mess. And in his frustration that it's not working, for the first time, he hits Amanda.
He punches, like, closed fist punches her in the face.
I just remember being in shock, like, what just happened? He got a towel and started cleaning up the blood off my face. He hugged me, and then he left for work.
And then leaves for work. Like, imagine how stunned Amanda is, woken up at 5 a.m. from this insane rage that makes no sense.
Yeah.
This altercation happened. Then he's helping you clean up and then he leaves. It's like, you can't even make sense of it.
No. And like, we're told that her family is really upset about it, but still like nobody is telling her to leave. We see pictures of these bruises. We see pictures. Her face is swollen. I mean, her face is so swollen. She's unrecognizable.
Yeah. And Manny says, Punky knew. She always knew.
Yes.
She always knew.
She always knew.
So Amanda takes the kids and leaves the house, and she is going as no contact as she can be because they have three kids, right?
But so, she's trying to think about the kids. She wants the kids to have a dad. She doesn't want to be friendly to him, but she wants to communicate with him just enough to like be able to deal with the kids so that the kids can keep their dad.
You're so like, when you're in an abusive relationship, you don't know which end is up. And it's not like, I think now she'd say, I don't want my kids to have a father like that.
No, and he's going to start hitting them any minute now.
But in the moment, she's just trying to salvage anything left.
Yes.
And she's thinking like, well, I don't want it. Like you just, your mind is mush.
Yes.
By design.
Yes.
And
yes.
So like in that moment, like at first, I think it's so easy for someone to hear that and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But the reason why is because she has no one to talk to.
Right.
She can't even like get her, like she is off balance in every sense.
Yes, 100%.
You know?
100%. And she's also thinking about money and work and where she's gonna live and all of it.
And
the kids are super young. They're 2, 4, and 5.
Oh, God.
I know.
And so Kevin's like harassing her now, right? Trying to get her to come back, calling her all the time, making these empty promises, air quotes, apologizing because the apologies aren't real.
But then if he would call her and she didn't answer, he would just call bomb her.
Yeah.
She's like, there would be times I would have 40 missed calls, 40.
But then the call before, he promised he's changed.
Right, exactly.
So then he would start threatening her.
At one point, Kevin said, come home or else. And I said, or else what? And he said, or else I'm going to file for child support, alimony, and full custody. And if I don't get it, I'm going to kill you.
And if I don't get it, I'm going to kill you.
Now, this is where I think some headway could be made legally. Like, we need, if we're out there changing laws,
sure.
I think that if somebody threatens to kill you, that should be taken seriously.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Is it not?
It's not in this situation.
Right, it's like,
you know what I mean? If somebody says, I'm going, this and this and this, I'm going to kill you, and this person has a history of physically abusing you,
yeah.
There should be some legal consequence
for
that.
Of course.
You know?
I'm just wondering what she would have to do. So she'd probably have to show the photos and probably have it
on recording.
She'd probably have it recorded, yeah, depending on if it's a one party, two party state.
Right,
or whatever.
Because these cops let her down over and over and over again. He's telling them what he's going to do. Yeah. He's telling them what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Girl, cornbread hemp seltzers are back. I'm telling you, nobody's drinking alcohol anymore. Why would you?
Yeah, I'm super into the THC seltzers because they're really good for the summer. I mean, yeah, they're good all year round, but it's kind of nice to have on like a rooftop or outside or whatever.
Can we just talk about the no hangover? So like, we've been having these happy hours. We filled our ice bucket with these cornbread hemp seltzers and they were gone in 5 seconds.
Yeah, so they have 30 calories. There's 5 grams of sugar.
Yes.
They're made with pure THC, all natural ingredients, no synthetics.
No, and they're freaking delicious. Can we talk about these flavors? Blueberry breeze, peach iced tea, raspberry limeade, and salted watermelon. The salted, people were fist fighting over the salted watermelon.
I mean,
watermelon.
The salted watermelon is so good. The raspberry limeade, and I'm usually not a blueberry girly, like, yeah, just as a rule.
Yeah.
I love the blueberry breeze.
So
it's true.
Freaking good.
And each can has 5 milligrams of THC. It's the perfect amount. You don't feel couch locked. You don't feel paranoid. You just feel good,
yeah,
and you don't have a hangover.
You know exactly how much you're taking. You can take more or less as desired.
Yeah, and they tell you on the side of the can, too.
I know. The kids don't drink booze anymore.
I'm not drinking booze anymore.
Right now, fam, TCO listeners can save 30% off their first order and enjoy free shipping on orders over $75.
Head to cornbreadhemp.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout.
That's cornbreadhemp.com/TCO, code TCO.
Cornbread hemp, this is the good life.
It really is.
It really is. No headaches tomorrow.
I know.
Not extra dehydrated tomorrow. Give me a break. Who has the time?
So good.
Wow.
Girl, Earn In is back. Look, we say it all the time, life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday?
Yeah, so Earn In is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $150 per day with a max of $750 between paydays.
Where has this been all my life? All you gotta do is download the Earn In app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $150 a day as you work and leave an optional tip.
Yeah, any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck.
Think about what you might need that for. It's date night, your car breaks down, you gotta pay that cell phone bill.
Unexpected trip to the vet, or you just want, I don't know, to go to the movies. You just want to
fancy
buy something
pizza
for yourself. Oh, wow. Or just regular pizza. Whenever. Things come up.
Honest to God. So, fam, download Earn In today. It's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earn In app, type in True Crime Obsessed under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show.
True Crime Obsessed under podcast. Also, Earn In is a financial technology company, not a bank.
Cash outs are based on your available earnings. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees.
Option to expedite your transfer for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service.
See the cash out user agreement for details. Services not available in all states. June 21st, 2017, Amanda comes home from, quote, dance practice. Amanda, tell us more.
I know.
Were you rehearsing? What is this? I love that you had this. But she said practice. But
yeah.
I'm like, so it wasn't a class.
No.
What were you rehearsing
She's on
for?
The squat.
Like, oh my God.
I can see her bleeding a cell block tango, if
totally.
I'm being honest. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Some kind of jazz number.
Uh-huh.
Like, when she said that, I was like,
Amanda,
I want to know more about
and
this.
And where are your gay friends?
Like, what's going
but,
on here?
But Amanda, where are your gay friends?
I mean,
need her surrounded by gays.
Oh my God. So Amanda pulls up after, like, this super, I'm assuming, very, very fun rehearsal.
This 9-hour rehearsal.
It must have been fun.
Mostly the Shania Twain songs.
Oh, my God. Let's go, girls.
I know. We're going out tonight. I'm feeling all right.
So she gets out of the car. She is immediately ambushed and attacked by Kevin. It is a violent and vicious attack.
Kevin is a fucking idiot, this person, but, like, he manages to be out of her eyesight and doesn't say anything.
Like, I wonder who it could have been.
I mean, of course, it is totally him. He beats her so badly.
Remember, he's a trained boxer.
Yes, yes, but he beats her so badly that she's struggling just to stay conscious.
Yeah.
She's like, I have to stay conscious and call 911. She calls 911, and once again, we see pictures of just how bad this is. Her teeth are broken. Her eye is split open. She's got bruises on her legs and arms.
And he was probably mad that she was out doing something for herself,
yes,
that she was at this dance rehearsal or whatever she was doing. All jokes aside, like, again, the more things you do that make you happy,
yes,
that have nothing to do with him, he got mad.
Yes, and so when Amanda gets the cops on the phone or in the hospital or whatever, she says, Kevin Lewis did this, here's his address. And the officer asks her,
did you see his face? No, I don't think so. From having a bunch of blood in my eyes, they said, did he say anything? No. And he said they were unable to make an arrest because I couldn't positively identify him.
Okay, the cops don't arrest him because Amanda, quote, couldn't identify him. Could you haul him in for questioning?
I know.
Could you check his hands for injuries? What about the 50 missed calls? Useless. Useless.
And it's like, there's got to be something we can do here. Like, once this has happened, we know that he's already beaten her. We know that he beat her in the closet at least that one time. Now this has happened. He's telling her he's going to kill her. How is this legally not enough for some kind of order of protection?
I mean, it's truly unbelievable.
The cops just don't believe her. They just, or they're just saying that we don't have enough evidence that it's him. And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's literally like, this is my ex-husband or about whatever. This is my husband. Like, I left him because he beat me. He just beat me in my car. Here's his name and his address. And they're just like, sorry, it's not enough. Well, Amanda says she's not scared. She's like, she's frustrated. She can't believe this is what's happening, but she's not scared. She's determined to get Kevin and bring him down. She makes a Facebook post about the abuse. I love this. Amanda is going public with what's going on with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she posts. And I mean, the photos are very jarring.
Yes.
I mean, it really shows. And it's crazy that the cops, like, when you see the photos that the cops were just like, well,
sorry.
But it's like, but you saw someone did this to her. Don't you want to find out who it is at all?
Right. He's out there. He's out there.
Like,
you know,
someone hurt her.
Yes. Yes.
And left her to die.
She's the mother of three kids and she's a human being.
So no, she couldn't identify him, but look at her.
Right.
Listen to her.
And would it have been better if she had just been like, yeah, I caught a glimpse of him out of the corner of my eye. We're supposed to lie.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So Amanda files charges for both assaults. She also files an order of protection. The kids are automatically included in this.
Both assaults are from the closet,
yes,
with the phone and the car. So
right.
She has documentation, she has photos, she's doing everything you're, quote, supposed to do.
And now we meet Abigail Ruggles. She was a nanny for Amanda and Kevin in 2017. And she saw the Facebook post with the pictures of what happened to Amanda. And she calls Amanda right away to find out if Kevin did that to her and what is the plan to get the kids the fuck out of there. Like, Abigail's really invested in this family.
Yeah. And so Kevin gets served with the protective order, right? No, it's a no contact order. It's about Amanda and her kids.
Yes.
Amanda has full custody. Like, he's got to stay away.
But he does what he said he was going to do. He immediately files for full custody, child support, alimony, and he wants $8,000 a month. And remember, he said, if I don't get that when I file for it, I'm going to kill you.
Right. $8,000, like...
$8,000. I mean, come on.
So, like, on top of all of that.
Exactly.
Like, so it's August 2017. There's a court hearing.
He was essentially denied everything that he was requesting. The custody remained with me. And in fact, the judge said, you have to pay some child support. And he didn't get any alimony either. And so that set him off. He was very angry.
Kevin is denied everything.
Yes.
We have a win, finally.
And right? He's got to pay child support.
Which is, like, great on one hand, but awful on the other, because, remember, he threatened to kill Amanda.
Yes.
If this exact thing happened.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, on one hand, it's like, oh, great. But then you're like, right, but who's protecting her? Like, oh.
Right. And, like, and now Amanda's got her village around her, like Abigail the nanny, her sister Punky. But Abigail is saying, like, I was really scared for Amanda. I know Amanda's saying she's not scared, but I was scared for her. I was scared for myself as an employee. And also, Abigail says, when Amanda got full custody of the kids, she was working a ton. We're going to find out. She gets this, like, amazing job overseeing,
yes,
like, 80 nurse anesthetists.
Unfortunately, we have to say the word anesthetist again.
You do have to say it gay. I'll say it. Nurse anesthetist.
Anesthetist.
Yeah. It's syllabant S's.
I love it.
All the way home.
But I was like, we're here again with anesthetist.
I know. But, like, that is, I mean, if she's overseeing those people, that is a high-paying six-figure job.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
But Abigail is saying that, like, she needs a lot of help. I couldn't do it myself. So between Abigail and Amanda and Punky, they're all raising these kids.
Right. So it's September 19, 2017. Amanda's working at the hospital, director of anesthesia on the administration side.
Like, Amanda!
Yes, girl. She oversaw 80-something doctors and nurse anesthetists. But she's a badass.
Yeah.
Which is, like, another reason this guy hates her.
Yes.
He's jealous of her. He's jealous, like, she has a good job. She has great friends. Like,
yeah.
He just can't stand it.
She's a total boss, making her own money, doesn't need him, never needed him.
And, like, is going to dance class. Like, she's,
right,
like, living her life and thriving.
Yeah.
He can't take that.
No.
So there's this big work conference in New York City, and
yeah,
all of the directors
Sounds amazing, by the
are
way.
Meeting and gathering there.
Yeah.
It's, like, a really, like, corporate, like, work conference.
Yeah. I've never really been to one of those. I know.
So Alicia,
I feel like I'd be fun at one of those things.
Sure.
I would be the one like organizing the happy hour.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to, you'd be like very bored.
I'm probably not going to go to the session tomorrow. Is that okay with everyone?
It's like a lot of sessions, right?
It's a lot of sessions. And it's like, these are nurse anesthetists. They got to know their shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you ever like get surgery and you look at the nurse anesthetist and you're like, thank you for all the homework that you had to do? You know?
Yeah. When I went under for my sinus surgery, I cried.
You did?
At the anesthetist. Because I was like, because they come over and they're like, here's all the ways you could probably not die, but you could. Uh-huh. Like, here's all, like, you have to sign your life away. Like, and he tells you what I'm going to do. And I just started tearing up and I was like, I'm fine. This is just sometimes a reaction that happens.
Like,
when I feel anxious. And he was so cool about it because he was like, heard, got it. Like, didn't engage in the emotion, but still was like,
oh,
nice, and told me like what I was signing away.
When I had to get like lower back surgery like last year or whatever. And I just remember thinking like the poor like surgeon's going to have to see my butt because you have to like, you know. So I wanted to get like, I just didn't want to have to think about it. And then the young nurse anesthetist who gave, you know, they give you that like the cocktail before they knock you out and it's like to make you not nervous.
Yeah.
And it was, he was so sweet and he was so handsome and he gave me the thing and I was like, oh my God, this is my favorite part. He's like, this is everyone's favorite part.
Yeah.
And then he gave it to me and I remember going, you're really handsome.
Yeah.
And he goes, thanks. And then I was asleep.
Yeah, I had an amazing, the two nurses who like walked me into the room, it was August. So it was like after the errors, it was the summer of like the Barbie movie and Beyonce and Taylor.
Uh-huh.
And so
what a summer.
It was such a summer.
God.
Like, God, we thought everything was going to change.
They're arresting senators today.
I mean,
it's going great.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So, but we were talking about like, you know, one of the nurses had gone to Beyonce and I had gone to Taylor. And then the gay nurse was just like, oh my God, loving you guys. And he was like, is your hair purple? And we were talking and we were just like talking about Taylor and Beyonce. And then it was like Taylor and Beyonce. And my surprise songs were, and 3, 2,
oh,
1.
Oh no, you were out.
And then I woke up.
Oh my God.
But it was such a lovely.
I don't know why people hate getting surgery. It's kind of a fun afternoon.
It's terrifying. But it was like, for someone who was like nervous, it was a perfect way to just be like, look over, literally like, look over there.
I know. That cocktail they give you before they put you out is like, it's my favorite day of the week.
I don't remember any of it.
Oh, I love it so much.
I don't remember it.
Anyway,
now I can breathe and my sinus is fixed and my septum is not as deviated.
No, I mean, you haven't had like a sinus infection in years.
It's amazing. People are in my DMs asking about that surgery. It's the one thing where I'm like, I can't talk. I'm DMing about septums
and
sinuses. It changed my life. If you can do it, do it.
Modern science.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
We should
still get vaccines though. September 20th,
who's
2017.
Who's saying no to vaccines?
Oh, like the director of the Health and Human Services.
Oh, right. Sorry, I was still in the summer of 2023 for a mere moment.
Oh God, if only we could go back.
I was in May of 2023 at the Eras Tour.
Travel down the road, back again. Girl, Ritual is back.
Look, it's hard to get all the nutrients we need. Okay?
I know.
Everyone's busy. We got a lot going on. And I'm not saying that Ritual is essential for women 18 plus multivitamin is like salad in a pill. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that it's formulated to help you fill key nutrient gaps that you might not be getting enough of from your diet, and that works for me.
And now listen, we love science in this podcast, and Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. And get this result, it increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks.
Yeah, here's my thing with Essential for 18 Women Plus, like you can have your own like ritual.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I love it.
I love it in the morning.
Yes.
Because it's minty fresh, which helps. It's like a nice little minty push in the morning. And then I just feel like ready for the day. It's a little like mental trick I play for myself.
Totally.
And then I'm like, oh, I have my nutrients, so I'm good.
Oh my God, I love that for you.
Thanks, me too.
Also, Ritual is HSA and FSA eligible with a seamless checkout experience.
Yeah, so you can save when you shop with your pre-tax dollars.
Oh my goodness.
I'm into this.
So fam, instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health.
Get 25% off your first month only at ritual.com/TCO.
Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today.
That's ritual.com/TCO for 25% off.
So September 20th, 2017, 12 midnight. So Abigail and Punky are watching the kids because Amanda's at that amazing conference in New York
City.
Being
a badass.
Yeah, and I love Abigail because she's like, it's a normal night. We got the kids to bed. She's like, Abigail's like, normally I would stay up late and binge TV shows. She's a Pates at the 5. There's no question.
Yeah.
Hi, Abigail.
Girl.
We love you. But she's like, Punky was staying on the couch. I didn't want to like bother her, so I went to sleep in the bedroom.
Right.
Now, this is the most fateful decision of her life.
Yeah. So it's 12 a.m. and Abigail wakes up to gunshots. She gets out of bed. She goes downstairs to, quote, investigate.
I turn the corner of the banister and I see Alicia is lying in a stream of blood. I got my phone and called 911.
Punky has been shot and killed.
Yes.
And presumably, Kevin, the ex, did this, right?
Right.
Like, who else could it have been?
And we hear the 911 call. Abigail is losing her mind. And, like, this is the thing that one of the many things that breaks my heart. The kids are trying to come downstairs, and Abigail trying to keep Punky alive, but also shield the
kids
from seeing what they're seeing. The paramedics arrive.
She said the girls didn't see anything, but Isaiah did.
Yeah.
She goes, he saw some of it. His eyes were so wide.
Yeah, and he'll be traumatized for the rest of his life.
Yeah. So the kids are taken from the house, and they're brought to Amanda's parents' farm.
Yes.
And meanwhile, Amanda's in New York City. Her phone is ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
She hears
about... She keeps sending it to voicemail. She's like, Dad, leave me alone. Like, I'm working.
And so she hears, because I guess the time difference, whatever.
Yeah.
So... her father calls her and says he killed Punky. So now Amanda has to sit on a flight home, which must have been absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
She's sad. She's scared. She's confused. She's anxious. Those bullets were meant for her, she's thinking.
Yes, of course.
Where are my kids? I mean, the worst. How many times do we hear about these, like, cross-country flights?
Oh, it's horrible.
Of, like, misery and terror.
I know. I think about Matthew Shepard's parents who had to fly from Saudi Arabia,
like,
to Colorado.
My God.
I know.
And it's like, so, okay, did Kevin do this? If so, why? Was Alicia the target? Was Amanda? Like,
right.
What's going on here?
And, like, Manny describes how he found out.
My alarm is going off. And then I realize it's not my alarm. It's a phone call. And it's my dad. And he says, son, I need you to get ready. I need you to wake up. I need you to listen to me. Your sister is dead. Dad said I would not stop screaming. No. For the next 2 minutes.
I would not stop screaming for the next 2 minutes, which means Manny doesn't remember.
Right.
Manny blacked out.
Well, I mean, of course. And it's just like the pain of knowing that Punky knew the whole time.
Well, right. But they're also like, everybody assumes that Kevin was the gunman. And why would Kevin kill Punky? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Right? Like, nobody can figure out why Kevin, who they know did this, would have killed Punky.
But he must have had a hand in it at the very least. Right.
Right?
So
right.
Amanda is terrified because now Kevin's just out in the world. Like,
right.
Is he, what, did he make a mistake? Did he think that Punky was Amanda? They are sisters. Like, is he coming back to get Amanda? Will
right.
he kill somebody else? Is he looking for the kids? On top of that, they're trying to mourn Punky, Alicia, at
right.
her funeral. They have to keep it a secret.
Because it's a place where Kevin would, if they announce it publicly, then Kevin's going to know where she is and he can come and get her.
So on top of the mourning and the trauma that comes with the situation, we have to add that added level of fear and secrecy to the mix.
Because I'm also like, wait a second, why is Kevin out on the street? Like, what the fuck is going on
it's
here?
It's so unfair.
And so the cops go to talk to Kevin and the cops say to us, Kevin did not give them much information. He said he was home that night. He didn't leave his residence. They say we thought he was involved, but we didn't know his level of involvement at the time.
Zero.
Like,
okay, great.
He's just like, once again, he beat Amanda almost to death in her car, but they couldn't get him because she didn't, quote, see him.
Right.
Now Punky is dead. He's the only one who could have done it, or at the very least been in majorly involved, but they still don't have enough to get this guy.
Right. Also, Brad is Alicia Punky's husband.
Yeah.
He was devastated. They knew each other their whole lives.
They had known each other their whole lives, and they did everything together. They really were each other's best friend. Watching him say goodbye to her before they closed the casket was one of the hardest things I've ever witnessed.
The hardest thing she's ever seen in her life.
Right. And the cops know he didn't do it.
Right.
So
they rule him out.
They rule him out. So, like, months are going by and nothing's happening. Months.
And Kevin is just out there, and Amanda's whole family is, like, in fear for their fucking lives.
It's just like, they say there's not enough to move forward with the murder charges. And I'm like, really? Like, do the things you need to do to get the murder charges.
Right.
Like, do the fucking work. Like, let's think. Was it a random attacker, or was it the guy with the history of abuse who told everyone he was going to do
this? Like, bring him in for a fucking question. You like, know, like, sit him down and get him talking.
Right.
At the very least, he'll say something.
Because she has a protective order against
right.
him. So ask a question.
Right.
I know they asked, but he didn't answer. Okay, well.
How do they not, I don't understand how they can't get him downtown for one
interview.
They're
leaning into the fact that it wasn't Amanda.
Right.
They are using Punky's death as a positive for their case, which
is
disgusting.
And once again, it just comes down to they just don't want to do the investigation. Like that's just why?
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I wish I knew the real answer as to why you would not really do. When you see the photos, if you can stomach them, the photos Amanda took in the hospital.
Horrible.
And the cop just being like, it's
Sorry.
Probably not your abusive husband.
Yeah, probably not him. It's probably a random attack.
Or is it the guy who told everyone he was going to do this
right.
with a history of abuse?
And knew your schedule and knew when you'd be pulling
and
into the driveway.
Boxer.
In the middle of nowhere, you know, Washington. And so Amanda.
I had to live kind of looking over my shoulder for quite a while. And of course, my home was turned into a bloody crime scene. So I couldn't go back there, and certainly not with my kids and all the trauma that had just happened. So I moved into a shelter with the kids.
She needs to be somewhere where he can't find her.
Because because her house is a crime scene because her sister was just murdered.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. So I guess that, because I was like, really no spare room at the farm for Amanda and her kids. But you're right. It's probably more of a safety thing. I hope.
Right.
I hope. So Amanda is trying to at least get Kevin charged with assault for the two documented assaults she experienced.
Right.
But she says there's all this back and forth about which department to file it with. And in my notes, I say, I swear to God, I'm about to lose my mind.
I know. There's a man out there who just killed somebody who will definitely do it again.
Yeah.
And you can't decide who's got to file this because you don't want to have to stay late at work today.
Right. And it wasn't until after Alicia's murder that things started moving with those charges. And I'm like, well, maybe if those charges weren't held up, we wouldn't be here.
But this is also the definition of we can't help you until he kills you.
Right.
It is literally that in action.
Yeah.
It is not hyperbole to say the cops are saying to them, sorry, he's going to have to kill you in order for us to have what we need to pick him up.
And
that's exactly what happened.
And so Jarrett, the lawyer, is
because
here.
Amanda should have been dead. If Amanda didn't, on a fluke, have this work trip, it would have been her.
Right. Right. So Jarrett, the lawyer, is here, and he files two counts of second-degree assault, which are both felony charges.
Yes.
Jarrett is on our side.
Yes, yes.
So a year after Alicia's murder, a year without charges, a year where Kevin gets to live his fucking miserable life and Amanda's living in fear.
And hiding.
Hiding.
Her kids are living in hiding.
Three children. A year later, he is found guilty of both charges of assault, and they're both felonies.
Yes.
So he gets sentenced to 3 years.
But they're not even looking into the murder yet.
Right. And this gives, Amanda's like, okay, cool. So now I have like a 3 year countdown clock
yeah, right.
of like when my life's going to be miserable again.
Exactly. And
also,
now
it
he's
still
gonna
is
be,
miserable.
And he's going to be in prison for 3 years, honing his anger and learning from other people on the inside how best to kill her.
Like 3 years until it gets even worse.
Exactly.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Right. Yeah.
So months later, the sheriff's office gets a tip that changes everything.
To some fucking idiot at a party, these people are so stupid.
Not through police work, by the way. Just
right.
a random tip.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, random caller, whoever
right.
you are.
At a party in Spokane, Washington, a female named Angelica was making comments about how she and her boyfriend killed someone. We were able to determine that Angelica was someone named Alexis Hale.
Now, Angelica is actually named Alexis Hale.
Yeah.
But she really was running her mouth. The caller was like, I think her name was Angelica. I don't know. Her name is Alexis Hale. She really was running her mouth. And she was saying things at this party that were not released to the public.
Right. So the cops, based on this tip, are able to say, like, yeah, this must be the actual killer because they know things that only the killer would know. I just want to take one more second and thank that hero caller.
Yeah.
Be that person.
Yeah.
If you're at a party and somebody talks about the murder they committed, call it in.
Even if you don't have the name right.
Right.
Make the phone call.
Make the phone call.
And so on top of that, not only was Alexis talking about things that weren't released to the public, her boyfriend is a guy named Jaredon Phillips, who also happens to be Kevin's cousin.
Right.
Alexis is 15 years old. Jaredon is 17. These are kids.
Children.
So here's the evidence against them.
Once they get these names, they get the evidence in 15 seconds.
They were Snapchatting the whole fucking thing. So we have Snapchat, timestamps, and the metadata. So Alexis and Jaredon were in photos and videos together on the night of the murder.
Literally driving from Spokane to Amanda's front door.
Right.
Like taking videos and Snapchats the whole time.
Cell phone info says they were in the same car driving from place to place. Alexis was taking videos of the journey, which is absolutely insane behavior.
And the cop keeps saying, by the way, just because you think your Snapchats disappear, they don't.
Like, nothing ever. Do people really still think that Snapchats disappear?
I know.
So, but also, they stopped at Kevin's place on the way to Amanda's. Like, we got them. So it's April 6, 2019, 19 months after Alicia's murder.
Yeah.
The cops talked to both of these psychopaths.
We see Jared on Phelps' interview, and the cops are like,
I've been in your phone. I've been in your social media. I know a lot of things that you don't know that I know. Hmm. I know you pretty well by now from what you put out in your social media. I didn't come here on a fishing expedition. This is the real deal.
I've been in your phone. I've been in your socials. I know a lot of things you don't want me to know, not just about this murder. You better start talking.
Exactly.
And he does. And so he knows he's caught. He says, yep, Kevin Lewis is my cousin. He reached out to me saying he was looking for someone to kill Amanda. Jaredon says, look no further. I will definitely commit murder for you.
Happily to do it.
Jaredon enlists his 15-year-old girlfriend, Alexis, to help. She agrees.
She's got ideas.
Out of all the things she could have said to him when he asked for her help killing someone, she said yes. There were like so many other options.
And
she went with,
we're going to find out. Jaredon was paid $2,400. She was paid $200. Punky was murdered for $2,600. And this is where we're told that Alexis, the 15-year-old, was totally the instigator. It was her idea to play the victim. It was her idea that they would show up at the house rather than having Jaredon knock on the door because they knew Amanda would not open the door for him. She was going to play like a young girl in distress.
Right. So, because the killers meet up with the ex-husband.
Yes.
15-year-old Alexis is like, are there going to be kids there? The ex-husband says yes. And even 17-year-old Jaredon goes, that didn't change my mind that
nothing.
They were going to be
13
kids
there.
So the ex shows the killers a picture of Amanda. And then they tells them to go to the house that has Amanda and two other women and three children and kill someone they've never met before in their lives.
I took a brief look at the picture. He showed me a picture.
But he shows you a photo of the person that he wants you to kill.
Correct.
Okay. And best that you can tell when the female answers the door...
Yeah, whoever was opening the door was getting shot.
Okay, so looking at the photo didn't really matter.
Yeah.
He didn't care. He glanced at the photo. He was just killing whoever answered the
and
door.
And then Alexis was going to be the bait because a house full of women and children are more likely to open the door for a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And so Alexis knocks. Alicia answers. Jaredon shoots her twice. Alicia falls to the ground. He shoots her again. And then the killers leave and go home. And we know this because Jaredon is telling all of it in great detail.
Yeah.
With zero emotion and zero remorse.
He does not care.
He doesn't give a shit.
And I, you know, we'll see Abigail towards the end of this thing talking about her survivor's guilt. But like that decision to be like, I'll be the one to take the bedroom tonight. You stay on the couch and watch TV.
Yeah.
That was the most fortuitous decision of her life.
And I'm thinking like, as we're watching this, not like it matters, not like it would make anything okay. But did the ex promise you $10 billion? Is he a genie with unlimited wishes?
I mean, like, seems like it was $2,600 was what he was willing to pay for this.
Because we don't know that yet. So as I'm watching this, among my many other questions, why did you say yes to this?
And why did you, like, you clearly didn't think you were going to get away with it.
Right. But he did it for $2,400 and he gave Alexis $200 of those dollars and they're flashing it all over Snapchat saying, you'll never guess what I did for this money.
Like, what is wrong with these people?
They're sociopaths. Like, they're posing with the money, they're posing with the gun.
Yes.
So we have them on the social stuff, the cell phone data, we have them on bank information. We have them on Ring cameras. We have this asshole's confession. Like, we've got them.
Yeah, and they say they've got enough to charge it. They tell the family, and the family's finally like,
we always knew that Kevin was the person, but to find out that there was another person who pulled the trigger, finally, we could make sense of things. Because this whole thing was so confusing from the beginning. We just couldn't imagine Kevin shooting the wrong person.
Because the guy who did it didn't even know the difference between Punky and Amanda and didn't care.
But the order was, it doesn't matter who opens the door.
Right. Oh, God.
One of the three women or three young children in there.
Oh, my.
Kill any of them.
God. Oh, my.
That's what the order was. So the ex-husband is charged with aggravated first-degree murder because he was serving time for the assaults when he was charged because it took so long to get to the bottom of this. Thanks to that random person who called, not any fucking police work.
Thank the Lord for that person.
But the ex-husband is charged with aggravated first-degree murder because he planned the whole thing.
Right.
And he told them exactly what to do.
Yes.
So it's October 14th, 2021, the trial. Alexis and Jaredon both plead guilty. Alexis gets 15 years. She's 15 years old.
Yeah.
She's 15 years old. What the fuck?
She's going to get out of prison at 30, having served half her life in prison.
As they're telling us about Alexis and her trial, we're seeing social media photos of her taking selfies as she's pointing the gun in the mirror.
Yeah, I know.
It is so...
These people had no plan to get away with this. All they wanted to do was go kill somebody.
And Jaradon got 32 years. I Googled this, and in the one of the articles I read, it says, I kind of wanted to do it so I could say I'd done it before, he testified. He says this during his testimony.
At trial.
Sociopaths.
Oh,
psychopaths.
My God.
I know we don't diagnose people, but can I have these two?
I know. Yes.
You're going to come for me about this? Okay.
I know.
Look at yourself in the mirror. Hopefully not holding a fucking gun, no. You psycho. I'm saying it. Psycho, you're a psychopath. Come for me. So the ex pleaded not guilty, of course. He showed zero remorse. BFF Ari is like, he really thought he was going to get away with
all of this. It's unbelievable.
Like, it started, what could have and should have been an annoying thing that happened at Denny's with a girlfriend.
Yes.
Like, it should have ended there. I'm not interested.
Right.
Leave me to eat my nachos in peace.
The idea that he then stalked her for a week and then followed her to Spokane to meet her by accident at a festival, that is crazy.
And look, I'm speculating wildly here, a la Joan Calamezzo, but...
It seems like a pretty strange coincidence.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's really what happened. It just feels weird. She wasn't interested. He didn't get her number, but yet here he is.
Uh-huh.
It's just weird to me. But guess what, BFF Ari? He didn't. The jury found him guilty.
Yeah.
He did not get away with it. So he got life in prison without parole.
And like now all of these people living with their survivor's guilt, Amanda says, people always tell me it's not my fault. And she's like, I understand that, but I'm the link between Kevin and Punky. Like without that, Punky isn't dead.
And Punky's also her sister.
Yeah.
Like it's the trauma of that too, losing your sister.
And it's also like, you know, what those kids went through that night, losing their dad, being witness to these murders.
And all the shit they saw when they were living in the house and their father was abusing their mother in any number of ways.
Yeah.
And so like Abigail, the nanny, says,
there's not a day that goes by that like I don't think of her and what she did to not only save the kids, but to save me. Because I could have just as easily been behind that door. But I know how important it is to move forward for her.
To the end,
yes.
Alicia stood up and fought for what she...
For the kids.
For her, the kids, for the people she loved, for what she believed in. Like, she's just a fucking hero.
And, like, you know, Punky's family just misses her so much. Manny gets a tattoo. He gets a Punky tattoo. It's very fucking cool.
Yeah. And Amanda, though. So Amanda is working through her trauma by doing the good work.
Yes.
So she's spreading awareness about domestic violence. She's an advocate. And she worked on getting a bill passed to redefine domestic violence to include coercive control.
Yes.
That is such a big deal, Amanda.
It's a really big deal.
And the law passed, and like Amanda is hearing that it's saving lives, which is amazing. It was added to Washington House Bill 1901. I looked it up today.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, yeah, you know, like Alicia would have wanted that. Like,
yes.
That's what my sister would have wanted. And I'm sure she's incredibly proud of her. And like, fuck everyone. And thanks, Amanda, for doing the work. And so, I'm sure you're exhausted.
I know.
But thank you.
Thank you.
We need you. We need you out there, Amanda. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, girl. Well, we finished the whole series of Worst Ex Ever.
Yeah, Married to a Monster. There are only 4 episodes of Worst Ex Ever.
And
it feels like there were a million. We also did Worst Roommate Ever.
Yeah, that's
sprinkled
true.
Sprinkled in.
But it does feel like in total, it was 400 hours.
It feels like that for sure.
Yeah.
I think there were only, what, 4 Worst Exes Ever.
That is, if you were to have asked me right now, like how many Worst Exes Ever do, I would have been like, I don't know, 12.
I think we've done 8 this year.
Oh my God.
Of Worst Ex Ever and Worst Roommate Ever. There are 4 apiece. We did Worst Roommate last year.
Yeah, that's crazy because it definitely feels like it was like a major part of what we did
it
this
feels
year.
Like a lot.
So much. Oh my God, you know what else is so much? The Disky. You guys,
Disky. Join
mostly Jillian in the Discord.
We have so much fun. So like there's the like episode discussion, Patreon app discussion. There's a place for you to like send documentary suggestions. There's also like not TCO related stuff, not true crime stuff.
Yeah.
There's like the animal, the pet channel. There's like a whole bunch of different channels.
Oh my, and speaking of channels, go look at our YouTube channel. Please, please, please. Please do it. The more subscribers we get, the more the algorithm shows us to other people who want to like who look for content like ours. So even if you don't like YouTube, go subscribe.
Yeah.
Just go hit the subscribe. I did it for Pod Save America. You go do it for us.
Oh, fun.
You know what I mean? Paying it forward. What are we doing next, girl?
Oh, boy. Remember that train wreck series that we did?
Yeah.
So they're coming out with a... bunch of new
train
episodes.
Wrecks.
Train wrecks. So this is Trainwreck, the Astral World tragedy on Netflix about that fucking horrifying Travis Scott concert.
I don't know anything about this.
It's where the people died at the Travis Scott concert because he like wouldn't stop the show. Or
oh
Live
my
Nation.
God.
So we're going to drag Live Nation. We're going to drag Travis Scott.
All right, cool. Screw both of them.
Yeah, they are horrible. And we meet a lot of people who were there. So we're like hearing it.
Oh, wow.
But just like beware. It's hard to watch if you have issues with like having trouble breathing. Just like be careful with that. You know, watch with caution, but we'll be covering that next week.
All right, fam, we love you. Go do something nice for somebody, please.
Please, and yourselves. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just
absolutely.
Be nice.
All right, we love you,
we
fam.
We love you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
There was a countdown clock until Travis Scott came out.
And that's when it started getting pretty hectic.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can't take a deep breath.
The music started playing and you just felt your whole body just move forward.
It became overwhelming real fast.
And then the wave comes back.
I fell on something. I fell on someone. Because people were falling on me.
It was crazy, man.
People are dead and hundreds others hurt.
One lawsuit claims the festival was a, quote, predictable and preventable tragedy.
I relive that moment, trying to change my actions for a different outcome, but it's always the same outcome.
You didn't have to know somebody to be affected.
You guys were in charge of this. What was the failure?
Never spoke about it before, but we're doing this so that people will know the truth.